Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome back. We are here to tell you about our world and help you learn American English. We begin today with a story of terrible violence in Texas. You may have heard that biker gangs were involved in a recent clash. Then something a lot more pleasant. Some young people from Washington, D.C. are learning their schoolwork at a very unusual place. The program is called As It Is, and it begins right now. Texas police are guarding against violence after a clash between competing motorcycle gangs. 9 people were killed in the fighting last Sunday in the city of Waco, Texas. Waco police say they seized more than 100 guns and arrested about 170 people. It was one of the worst gunfights in recent United States history. The gunfight has led police and others to look closely at motorcycle gangs, bikers who travel together on their motorcycles. Law enforcement officials say such groups are a great threat to public safety. Police say the gunfight in Waco was a clash between a large Texas-based gang called the Banditos and smaller gangs, including one called the Cossacks. Sergeant Patrick Swanton is a member of the Waco Police Department.
I will tell you that in 34 years of law enforcement, this is the worst crime scene, the most violent crime scene that I have ever been involved in.
Sergeant Swanton says police knew the gangs were gathering in Waco and followed them closely as they traveled to the city. Some police officers were sent to a Waco restaurant. Sergeant Swanton says they were prepared to take action if the two sides fought.
We were extremely fortunate to have our best, most well-trained officers here, and that was our tactical unit. They were here for the specific reason of we knew there was going to be trouble at this biker event.
Sergeant Swanton says the gang members fired at each other, and some also fired at the police. But only gang members were wounded or killed. Federal and state officials say the Banditos gang has about 2,000 members. They say it is involved in the transport of illegal drugs and other kinds of organized crime. The Banditos was formed in South Texas in the 1960s. It now has allied chapters or smaller groups in other states and in several countries. James Quinn teaches sociology at the University of North Texas. He has studied biker gangs. He says one chapter can operate differently from another. He notes that some gangs have what he calls a sophisticated membership that is active in organized crime. Other chapters appeal to those interested in riding, drinking, or making friends. The Hell's Angels biker group is based in California. It competes with the Banditos for members. Hell's Angels is much larger than the Banditos. Yet both groups have chapters throughout the country and the world. The two groups have clashed in Australia, Western Europe, and Canada. Canadian reporter Julian Scher has written 2 books about the gangs. Mr. Scher says the level of violence may decrease for a time after the gunfight in Waco. But he says the two sides will fight again someday because biker gangs always fight.
The image of the biker gangs really never changes. This is what they're about. This is their very nature. And it was just pure luck that there were no innocent people killed in that shootout, but there have been cases where innocent people have been killed.
Most of those arrested in Waco belong to the Banditos group. City officials are worried that other Banditos members could travel to Waco and fight with members of competing groups who are still there. State police and federal officials are in Waco to help local police investigate the gunfight and to prevent more violence. I'm Jim Tedder. You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. The spring term is coming to an end at colleges and universities across the United States. The past few weeks were a busy time for many students, including those at Washington Adventist University near Washington, D.C. Some students from the university have been helping poor, mostly immigrant children with their schoolwork. But the students did not work with the boys and girls at a traditional school. Every Thursday night, they have been meeting at a laundromat, a place where people go to wash their clothes. Christopher Jones-Cruz reports.
Every week, many people bring their clothing and their children to the Rainbow Coin Laundry. While the parents wash the clothes, the children are busy learning. Some children completed their schoolwork with help from Washington Adventist University student Heather Alas.
We want to help the little kids with their homework. A lot of them don't understand English all that well. So we do try to make sure that they understand their homework because sometimes their parents aren't able to help as well.
Christine Sumampao is also a tutor in the program. She says the program began with just 5 children, but has grown to about 20. She has been writing a marketing plan for Nuk Kim, the owner of the laundromat. They created the idea of a tutoring program to give people a reason to keep coming to the laundromat.
He's really friendly with his customers, so we figure why don't we try something that he can give to the community.
The project began last year when Nuk Kim asked Kimberly Pichot for help. Ms. Pichot is the head of the university's business department.
When we first started working with him, business was bad, which is why we came in. He'd even considered closing his business. But the conversation got started, and we said, okay, let's do a facelift. Let's redesign his logo. And the ideas just started coming. And as we were brainstorming, one student says, you know, there's a lot of immigrant children hanging around. Why don't we add tutoring?
Mr. Kim says the laundromat is slowly getting more business. The project is part of an international entrepreneurial program called Enactus. It was launched in the United States 40 years ago. The program is now at more than 1,700 college and university campuses in 36 countries.
They want to give students experience before they graduate. And so we collaborate with the community and with businesses, and we find things that the students can do to enhance the community.
Ms. Pichot says her students are working with other businesses in addition to the Rainbow Coin Laundry.
Every year we start the year out with a small business symposium, and we invite any business to come in. It's a free workshop. And so from that symposium, we self-select. We see who wants to work with whom. And then throughout the year, we help other businesses with accounting, with taxes, with marketing, cost analysis, a variety of things. So this year we've worked with a restaurant. We just started working with a tax service to help them expand to a second location. We've worked with sports trainers to help expand a dance club.
She says the students help business owners increase their profits while gaining experience that they cannot get in school.
And so the depth of their learning is a world apart from just that dry classroom environment where they walk away with a few concepts. They volunteer long hours.
Christine Sumampao is completing her studies this year, She has spent about 1,000 hours as a volunteer. That is more than any other student in the group. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report.
As an English learner, you want to be able to understand and to discuss a subject. You want to have the ability to express your opinions and to support that opinion with a clear argument. You can learn these skills by learning how to debate. In everyday conversation, Americans use the word debate to talk about discussions among people. When people debate, they give their own opinions about a topic. Another use of the word debate describes a more formal discussion. Debaters work on a team to convince a judge that their opinion about a topic has more value than the opposite side's opinion.
Debate is part of the tradition of forensics started in ancient Greece. The Greeks thought that in a democracy, people needed to have certain skills. These skills included speaking in public in favor of an opinion and providing evidence to support one's opinion. The Greeks supported the development of these skills by holding contests. Western education today continues the tradition with competitions between debate teams. A debate contest traditionally has this structure. Teams agree to debate a resolution, a statement, such as nuclear power should be banned. One team is the affirmative team in support of the resolution. One is the negative, against the resolution. Each team gives an argument for or against the resolution. Then, each team asks questions about the other team's argument. After answering the questions, each team makes more statements to support their argument. Finally, they summarize the arguments. In a classic debate, teams may take 12 turns, in which one member of the team speaks.
Professor Charles LeBeau teaches English and debate in Japan.
There is a huge gap between presentation, which is mostly a one-way experience, and then we have something on the other end of the spectrum, which is discussion. The problem with discussion is that there's no real clear exacting format.
Mr. LeBeau says that most people mistake debate as being mostly a speaking skill, but debate is a more natural kind of discussion than what happens in those classrooms. That is because debate requires understanding the other person's opinion.
The nice thing about debate is debate leads towards a more natural discussion. First, I give my position, then you give your position, and then I would address each of the points in your position and comment on them. And then you would have the opportunity to address each point in my position and comment on it.
In part two of our series, we will introduce a simple method for teaching debate to English learners. Mr. LeBeau will tell how using a graphic helps students organize their thoughts and debate with more confidence. For the VOA Education Report, I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Jonathan Evans.